say that 2019 hasn't been the best thus far. A few of you. Apparently, if you're struggling in life, you sit on this side of the church. Or if you're honest, you sit on that side of the church. How about that? No, 2019, and it's, you know, all month and a half, has been challenging, hasn't it? It's been a little difficult. How many of you would say that so far you've already found yourself having some questions? How many of you would say that you found yourself angry at God? Brave souls, I appreciate you all. How many of you have found yourself saying, God, I just don't get it? Right. A lot of us have been there. And we'll be there again. You know, I like to bring the encouragement. But that's exactly what we've been talking about over the past couple weeks. And if you haven't been with us, for whatever reason, let me give you a brief little catch up to where we've been. So in this series, again, it's titled, God, I Just Don't Get It. And we've been looking at the life of the prophet Habakkuk, right? And we don't know a ton about him. He's a minor prophet. He wrote a book. It's in the Old Testament, and it's 3 chapters long. Whoop, whoop. I love those short chapters of those books, right? No one else? I like them. I can read a whole book. Like, I read a book of the Bible today. They don't got to know that it was 3 chapters. You know, it's awesome. But it's 3 chapters, but it's jammed, packed. I mean, it's full of just wisdom, of just real life, rawness. Things that, honestly, we don't talk a lot about in the church. We should, but we don't. Basically, we see in chapter 1 that God delivered a message to Habakkuk that he's supposed to then tell all the people. I mean, he's a prophet. That's what prophets did. God spoke to them, and then they were supposed to go deliver that message, right? So God speaks to him and says, hey, Habakkuk, deliver this message for me. I am going to destroy you and your people. And because you're just becoming increasingly wicked. And, you know, and he's like, okay, fair enough. We are a little on the struggle bus. We're not doing that great. And he says, but then God takes it a step further and says, but I'm going to use the Babylonians to destroy you. A much worse group of people than you. And that's where he's like, okay, God, hold up. That doesn't make any sense. You're going to destroy us because we're wicked, but you're going to use even more wicked group of people to do that? Like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem fair. God, I just don't get it. And so we see Habakkuk begin to wrestle with God, right? But yet he embraces God as he does it. I think that's so cool because Habakkuk, that name means to embrace, to wrestle. That's exactly what we see that he does. He doesn't just ignore it. He doesn't suppress how he felt about it and say, well, God is God, so I'm just going to not say anything. No, he has a great relationship with God. So much so that he knows that he can go to God and say, God, this is how I feel. I don't like it. I don't want to deliver this message because I don't get it. And it doesn't seem fair. I love you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to embrace you, but I don't like this, and I kind of would like some answers. Like I've said each week of this, man, he was crazy bold to go and talk to God that way. So that's what he did. And then in week 2, we see that he kind of presents all those things out there, and then he waits. Right? We see that he waits. And in the first 2 weeks of this series, we've looked at this picture. Tyler, if you can go ahead and throw it up here, of this mountaintop, right? And this has kind of been, you know, our visual, our analogy of our spiritual lives. Right, so off the screen to the left is the base of the mountain. Right, so that is at some point in time you do not know Christ. You're not even on a spiritual journey. But then one day Christ comes and he begins to speak to you, and God speaks to you, and it's some supernatural movement. You're like, I need God. Right, I need a savior. I'm lost. I'm ridiculous, and I need somebody to make me right with God. And then you have an encounter with Jesus, and then you confess and you believe and you give your life to Christ, and then you've become a new creation, as Scripture says. Old things have passed away, all things are new. Your sin is as far as from the east is to the west. You've been set free. And so you begin to climb up to that first mountain peak. And many times, man, that journey is awesome. I mean, you're on fire, you're learning all these new things. I mean, you're in church, you're surrounded by this group of believers that are just welcoming you and loving you. And the worship when you go to church is on point. The message, you know, is just like speaking to you, and God is just revealing all these things, and you're making life changes, and they happen pretty easily. And you're like, man, this is great. And you get to that first peak, and you feel like you are on top of the world. And then life happens. Something goes wrong. Somebody gets sick. And you pray for their healing. They don't get better. They get worse. You go to church. You think you're surrounded by a community that loves you. And you find out that someone's been talking bad about you. Or the worship falls flat. Not because the worship leader did a bad job, Jared. I'm not, no shade. But it falls flat because you're just not connecting. And you're like, God, where are you? What's going on here? I don't get what you're doing. And then you see this first mountaintop, you kind of start to slide down that mountain. You kind of enter into this faith crisis. And when you enter that faith crisis, typically we see that there's a few different ways you can go. And we talked about this each week. One, you can jump right back up to that first peak where you're at. Ignore what's going on around you. Ignore the fact that what you believe in your heart and what you're actually experiencing isn't jiving. You just ignore it and say, hey, I'm going to go back to this feeling that I had. I'm going to ignore the rest and just say, God, you're good. Even though that's not really where you're at. We do that sometimes. Or you can just say, God, I thought you were good, but if this is really what you're all about, deuces, I'm out. Like, I'm not sticking around for this. I don't want to be a part of this. You're supposed to be good and you're allowing this to happen, or you didn't do what I thought you were going to do, so I'm done. And you just jet on your faith altogether. You go back to the beginning before you even started the climb. You say, forget it, I'm done. Or when you enter that faith crisis and you start down that slide, you can do what we see Habakkuk do in chapter 1 and chapter 2, where he goes boldly to God and says, I don't like this and I don't get it. I don't think this is fair, but I'm going to wrestle with you and I'm going to embrace you as I do. So God, here's my complaints, here's my questions, here's my confusion. I'm laying it all out there, and now I'm going to shut up and listen, and I'm going to wait to hear what you're gonna say to me. And when you say something, I'm gonna write it down so that my, you know, feeble brain doesn't forget it. And then I can recall that to memory when I need it. And then I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait and see what you're gonna do and how you're gonna use this for your glory. And that's what we see Habakkuk do. And that's what we need to do. But see, there's a third chapter. And what we see happen in chapter 3 is incredible. It's something that I hope and pray for each of you that are going through this journey, that are in this season of doubt or question or just insecurity or fear or whatever it may be. You see, Habakkuk, he didn't like his circumstances and he wanted them to change, but they didn't. Again, like I said in week one, this isn't that nice little book of the Bible where it starts off with a crisis and finishes up like all nice and clean and God does everything that everyone wanted. That's not this book at all. And so his circumstances don't change, yet his faith increases. Yet he concludes this book with worship and rejoicing and celebrating how good God is. Because again, as crazy as it may sound or as counterintuitive as it may be, God may lovingly allow you to go through a season of doubt, a season of questioning, a frustration, of anger, so that he can take you to the next mountain peak, to the next level in your relationship with him, so that he can increase your faith, so that he can bring about perseverance, so that you can make it through the next crisis or the next trial, or so that you can speak life into someone else who's about to go through exactly what you've been through. He's going to take you to that next mountain peak. Now, I don't know about you, I'd rather be at that second one, the tallest one, than that first one. Well, unless you're afraid of heights. And if you're afraid of heights, then forget the whole analogy altogether. Your relationship with God increases. But that's where he will take you. To the point that you don't get it, you don't like it, yet you worship. And that can be mind-blowing to someone outside looking in. But it makes perfect sense when you're in the middle of it and you're trusting God and he gives you that peace. So let's go ahead and dive into Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Hope I said that right. Basically, that means this is some type of musical setting for this book. So you can kind of think of it, it's worship, right? It's a worship song. Verse 2, Habakkuk says, Lord, so he's praying, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them know. In wrath, remember mercy. He's still kind of wrestling, right? He's saying, God, I've heard about your miracles. I've heard about your power and how incredible you are and your glory. And man, I'm just blown away by it. But right now, I'm not seeing that. So remember that. Repeat that. God, now, do it again. I believe you can do it. I've seen you do it. I've heard about you doing these incredible things. God, do it now. Do it again. And maybe you've felt like this before. You've experienced this incredible season in your relationship with God where you're close to him. You feel connected. You're vibing. It's just beautiful. You're confident. You're bold. And then all of a sudden you go through this other season where something happens. And you feel so disconnected from God. Whether it's something that happened to somebody else, or whether it's something that you did, or something, experience that you're having, or whatever it may be, but you feel disconnected and far from God. And you're like, God, where are you? I know how good you are. I've experienced it. I've felt it. God, do it again. Renew that. Repeat that again in my life. I don't know about you all, but I've felt like those times where I'm walking and everything's good, then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from under me. And I get frustrated because I feel like God wasn't there to catch me. God, do it again. I know you're good. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And this is where Habakkuk found himself. So he takes his questions boldly to God. And then he waits and he listens. He does the things that he needs to do to hear from God. And then in chapter 3, he's like, God, I'm waiting and I'm asking that you remember. Remember grace and mercy. And I remember what you've done. Do it again. I believe that you can, so do it again. So to help us close out this book of the Bible, right? This Habakkuk, these three chapters. And to help us to close out this season of questioning in our own lives. Because as I look around this room, I know that many of you are in some sort of season of questioning, of frustration or of confusion, or maybe you're on your way out. I don't know, but I want to encourage you and to kind of give you some steps that we see from the life of Habakkuk to help you make that final turnaround, to help you turn the corner and begin to stop the slide and begin the climb. To stop the slide down that first mountain peak and begin the climb to the even better one. And we see three things from the life of Habakkuk that I believe that if we can implement, along with some of the things that we've talked about in the last few weeks, that man, that God is gonna take you to that next level, to that next mountaintop. And so the first thing that we see is pretty clear, and it's that we're gonna simply remember what God has done. We're gonna remember what God has done in our lives. Though we may not feel it in the moment, we're gonna recall those things to our memory. Maybe it's some of those things that you wrote down, right? When God started speaking, you can look back to that because you wrote it down. But we're gonna remember what God has done. And here's what Habakkuk's gonna do. He's basically gonna to bring up, and he's gonna think about, and he's gonna pray and meditate on some very tangible and real things that he can remember that will then begin to increase his faith. And in my 12 and a half years of working with kids and teenagers that have experienced extreme abuse and neglect, one thing that I do know is the brain is very powerful. And there are certain things that can be triggered that will bring about memories. It can be, a lot of times, external things. Something you see. An environment that you go into, something you hear, something you smell, can bring about memories of either good things or, unfortunately, some bad things. But we can use that to remember those good things that God has done, even when we're not feeling it. For example, some silly things or just some things that I can think of when I was thinking about this yesterday is, there's a lot of like smells that remind me of things. As goofy as it is, green soap, you may not know what that is, but green soap reminds me of getting tattooed. Because they use that right before they tattoo somebody to clean and sterilize. So if I smell it or even hear it, I'm transformed like back to getting tattooed. And that's just, I know, I'm kind of weird. It's okay. Give me grace. I also think about sawdust, the smell of sawdust, and Ruffles, the chips. It reminds me of my dad. It reminds me of spending time with my dad, because I would go out into his shed when I was younger, and he'd always be working and tinkering on something, and just the smell of sawdust reminds me of that. Or the smell of Ruffles. My dad worked at Frito-Lay until they closed the plant, and we would go with him to go pick up his check, and he would always take us into the plant, and he'd always scoop off hot Ruffles right off the belt, and we'd get to eat those. And I'm telling you, if you like Ruffles, yo, those were on point. Hot, fresh. But it reminds me of spending time with my dad. There's a few songs that I can think of that remind me of different points and times in my life. Some good, some not so good. There's a song by the band named Cademan's Call, and they had a song, Somewhere North. And I still listen to that. It's an album called 40 Acres. It's phenomenal. I love it. But I remember sitting in my 93 two-door Cavalier with neon lights. That's right. That's right. That's how it rolled. But I remember sitting in my driveway, listening to that song on repeat, just heartbroken over some family stuff that was going on as a senior in high school. And when I hear that song, I'm reminded of that. I'm reminded of that emotion. It stirs in me a little bit. And I don't know what it is for you, but you're probably thinking about it right now, whether good or bad. And if it's bad, I'm sorry, I triggered that for you. We can talk later. I'll hug you and love on you. But our brain is powerful. And we can do some very tangible or real things that will help to remind us of certain things. And we can do that to remind us of how good our God is. And remind us of what he's done for us in the past. Habakkuk, basically that's what he does. He goes down memory lane a little bit in verse 3 to remember the goodness and the power of God. He says this. He says in verse 3, basically there was a time, he's like, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Think about that. He's visualizing this. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. Very poetic. Maybe you don't think that way. But that's what he's doing. He's reminding himself of how incredible God is. Basically here, he's remembering God's power and bringing his people out of Egypt, basically, out of captivity, and into the promised land. He's like, I remember when you guided your people by fire and by cloud. I remember when you fed us manna from heaven when we had no food. You did that. You parted the water so that we could pass through and be saved. God, I remember these things. I remember when you used plagues and pestilence to save us. God, you're so powerful. Your glory is phenomenal. Do it again. I long for it, and I believe because I remember. And because I remember, I'm encouraged about what you can do. So God, do it again. You need to do the same if that's where you're at, to help you begin to stop the slide and begin to climb up the next hill. You remember what God has done. You remember how good he is. You bring those things and you recall them to memory. Whatever it may be. Maybe for you, at one point in time, you were really, really struggling with depression and anxiety, and God removed that or gave you just a little bit of peace or gave you the ability to step over that and to continue to move forward. But right now you're struggling again. Remember what God did. Remember how he can set you free. Maybe you're struggling financially and you can think back many years ago. You remember when you were kind of in that same boat and then all of a sudden someone just gave you some money or a refund, a random refund check came in the mail. And you're like, God, you're so good. But you're broke. You're in the struggle right now. Remember what he can do. Remember what he did. Remember how good God is. If you want to stop the slide and begin the climb, climb to that next mountain peak, to that next level in your relationship with God, you first need to remember. Remember how good God is. Remember what he's done in your life. The second thing that we're going to do that we see from Habakkuk is that we accept what God is doing. Accept what God is doing. And I think I could speak for all of us. That one, difficult. Much easier said than done. We accept what God is doing. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't pray. You don't ask God for a miracle. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that you just say, oh, well, God, you're going to do what you're going to do, so I'm just going to shut down and wallow in my misery. That's not accepting what God is doing. What we're going to do is we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep seeking God. We're going to keep asking him maybe to change the situation and the circumstance. We're going to take those requests to God, and then we're going to listen, we're going to write, and we're going to wait, right? That's what we talked about. But it means that when you struggle, when you doubt, when you don't understand what God is doing, ultimately you trust him. You trust him. You acknowledge how you're feeling. You acknowledge, if you're in a faith crisis, if you're sliding down that mountain, you have to acknowledge it. You have to say, like, I'm spiraling out of control here. I'm so lost, I'm so confused, I'm so frustrated, I'm in a faith crisis. You have to acknowledge it. I encourage you to speak it to somebody else. Tell somebody, help them work through it, or help you to work through it, but you have to acknowledge it. I mean, think about it. No one ever, like has ever been able to successfully work through a problem in their life if they don't acknowledge that they have a problem. I mean, that's common sense, right? You can't, you know, make gains financially and get out of a financial hole if you don't accept and acknowledge the fact that you're in a financial hole. If your relationship with your parents or your spouse is just terrible, you're not going to make any improvements if you just sit there and think that everything's good. No, you have to acknowledge that you're in a mess. You have to acknowledge that things aren't going right. You've got to acknowledge that you need some help. You got to acknowledge these things to be able to move past it. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. When you're in a faith crisis, when God's not doing what you think he should, when he's saying no, when you in fact believe and know that he could say yes, and you're frustrated with that, you're confused, you don't get it, you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge that that's where you're at, that you're in a faith crisis. And then you have to accept what God is doing. Doesn't mean you have to like it or even get it. But in that moment, you need to accept what God is doing. When he speaks clearly, saying that he's going to do a specific thing, we trust him. And again, Habakkuk is a perfect example of this. We see that even when he didn't like it, we see in verse 16 how he begins this process, right, of accepting it. For one, he acknowledges that this message is tough. He doesn't like it, definitely doesn't want to deliver it. Verse 16, he just, you know, he's speaking about how God told him that the Babylonians were going to destroy them, like this much worse and wicked people. He says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. That's not a description of someone who's pretty stoked about what they just heard. That's not. He doesn't like it. He's devastated by it. He had a physical reaction to this news from God. His heart's pounding. How many of y'all been in a situation that it was intense or you didn't like it or you were fearful or, you know, or there was some type of conflict that was about to happen and your heart starts pounding, right? Yeah, his heart's pounding. His lips were quivering. Decay crept into his bones. His legs were trembling. He didn't like it, but he accepted it. He took what he didn't like straight to God. He looks truth squarely in the face and says, God, I know you said this is what's going to happen, so that's what's going to happen. And I accept that. However, this is going to be rough. This isn't going to be any fun. People are going to die. And I don't like it. But God, I trust you. I trust you. I wish there was a different way. And I don't understand why you're choosing this. But I'm going to trust you. We've all been through that experience if you're a part of this church over the past month and a half, or honestly longer, where we've been praying for healing. God said no. We don't like it. We never will. We don't get it. We don't know why his answer was no. But we trust him. We trust that he's going to do something incredible. Some of us talked a little bit this morning about how Iliad, his life has impacted so many, even us. We don't like it. I've told God many times, I wish you could have done it a different way. I accept it. As hard as it may be, I accept it. And we accept it because of the third thing. We're going to trust what God will do, not what God may do. We're going to trust what he will do. And we see again this clearly with Habakkuk. Verse 16, you know, he's talking about his heart pounding and his lips quivering and his legs shaking, and he just hates this message. He doesn't like it. Stirs emotionally and physically things in him that he doesn't like. He's like, God, this isn't fair. Why are you doing this? Why are you choosing to do this when you could do something different to still get the same message across? Then the second part of verse 16 and through 18, he says, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Basically, God, I know you said that they're going to get theirs at some point. The Babylonians are going to get theirs. So I'm just going to wait patiently and trust you. In verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. What does he say next? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Even though there is no tangible reason, no reason to what I'm experiencing, seeing for me to worship and to rejoice, I will. I'm still going to rejoice because God is good. I'm going to rejoice because I remember what he's done. I'm accepting what he's doing because I know what he will do. Though the fig tree doesn't bud, I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to worship him. Though there's no food in the fields, no cattle in the barn, I'll rejoice. And maybe for you it sounds more like this. Although I lost my job and it wasn't fair, I'm going to rejoice in my good God. Though financially I'm struggling, and I'm miserable about that. I don't get it, and I really don't know what to do next. I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to be joyful in my Savior. Even though my spouse left me, never imagined myself being divorced. This wasn't the plan I had laid out. God, I worship you. I rejoice. And God, even though you didn't heal, we pleaded for you to, we're going to worship you because we know that you have a master plan. We know that you're good, and we're going to trust you. We're going to trust what you will do. So we rejoice. Even though we don't like it, even though we wish it could be a different way, God, I'm going to trust what you will do. And when we can get to that point, when we get to that point in our faith and our relationship with God, you're going to go from peak one to the slide, and you're going to start that climb to the next mountaintop. And your relationship with God is going to go far beyond than you ever imagined it could go. And I know that there are many of you here this morning that are in this struggle, that are in this season of doubt, of fear, of frustration, of confusion, for whatever reason. I know that you're there. Maybe you're here, maybe you're listening on the podcast, but you are in the slide. You're in a faith crisis. Habakkuk was in the same place. Chapter 1, right? But then he makes it all the way to chapter 3, and his faith is increased. He went through the battle. He went through the wrestling and it ended up with nothing really changing. God didn't say, oh, you're right. My bad. We're going to do this a different way. I'm going to use you to destroy the Babylonians and then we're going to celebrate and have a party. No. His circumstance didn't change. But through his wrestling, through his embracing God, God changed him. And then he worshiped. He celebrated and he trusted God. And what I want you to hear very clearly is that you cannot get to that next level of faith without acknowledging and working through the slide. And working through the doubts, the questions, the fears, the insecurities, the faith crisis. You're never going to get to that next level unless you spend the time and work through that. And if you're a Christ follower for any length of time, you're going to experience that slide. It may not be a drastic, like I'm walking away from my faith kind of battle or wrestle, but there's going to be little doubts. There's going to be little things that are going to creep into your head or little thoughts or confusions or frustrations. You cannot mask those. You cannot ignore those and think that you're going to go to this incredible level and this next level in your relationship with God. It's not going to happen. Because you're just sweeping stuff under the rug and ignoring it, and then you're going to have a hollow faith. You're going to have the faith that you just chirp out about God and act like everything's great, when inside, that's completely not the case. It's hollow. And I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of faith that I want to have. That's not the type of relationship with God I want to have. And I promise you, from people that I know that aren't believers, that aren't connected with God, that's not what they want to see. A hollow faith isn't what's going to bring them to Christ, because they see right through it. That's why so many people have bailed on the church or don't want anything to do with God, because we have hollow faith. Because we're not willing to go through the slide. We're not willing to be real. Say, God, I don't get it. I don't like it. When someone asks you, how's your relationship with God? You're like, oh, it's pretty good. No, it may not be. You may not have prayed or read the Bible in 6 months because you're mad at God. But you keep coming to church because you don't want no one to know about it. Or you're fearful that God's going to do something crazy and strike you dead. Or to check it off your list. It's a hollow faith. We've got to be willing to go through the slide, to wrestle with God and embrace him and trust him through it. You see, Habakkuk never, whatever it may be, but it's okay to go through that. Again, you know, God may do more in that slide, right? In that questioning and that doubt in your life than he did on that first mountain peak. That's when God is able to show you his grace, his mercy, his power. That's when he comforts you and brings you close to him. When you're willing to say, God, I don't understand. And I'm going to come to you and tell you that. That's when he comes and he loves you. And he holds you. And he encourages you. And he speaks truth to you. And he shows you his grace. You see, Habakkuk started out questioning. Even though nothing changed, really, he finished worshiping. He finished worshiping. Check out how he concludes the book. Last verse in this book. Chapter 3, verse 19. He says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. That's powerful right there. He's my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to tread on the heights. Even though the fig tree doesn't bud, there's no cattle in the barns, the fields are empty with food, even though I don't get it, even though I don't like it, and I don't understand it, and I wish it was different, even though I don't get it, I will trust what you will do. I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna keep my eyes fixed on you. I'm gonna worship you. Even when there's really no tangible reason to, I'm going to worship you. And I will rejoice in my Savior. My strength, my hope is in the Lord. And he makes me go to the next peak, to the heights. When we can get to that point, he takes our relationship with him to the next level. Enables us to do that because we're willing to go through the slide. And again, if that's you this morning, it's okay. I love you. The people around you love you. And we're all in this together. Believe it or not, we're all in this thing together. So be real. Be honest with God. And let him take you to that next peak. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for how good you are. We thank you for the so many things that you've done in our lives, individually, in this church, in the life of this church, God. God, you've been so good to us. And once we're able to get outside of ourselves and really think about how good you are, God, so many incredible things come to mind. And we thank you for that. And God, as we, as many of us right now are kind of in this season of just questioning and confusion and frustration, God, I pray that you would speak peace and clarity over every single person that's here. Maybe we be willing to come to you and just pour our hearts out to you, the good, bad, and the ugly. And from that, God, we know that you will then restore us, that you'll speak truth to us, you'll encourage us, you'll lift us up, and you'll take us to the heights if we trust you. God, give us the boldness and the courage to do so. Maybe you're here this morning, and as we continue in prayer, and for you, all that sounds well and good, but you've never really connected with God completely. You've never stepped over that line of faith and given your life to Christ. You've never started the climb. And if that's you, that's okay too. We've all been there. At some point in time, we were all off that journey on a totally different path. So if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to really continue to check out the claims of Christ. Really seek him the best of your abilities. Ask questions. Connect with other believers. Continue to just to check out his claims, his truth. And let him do a work in you. And if you're here this morning and you've done that, or you feel God stirring in you, I'm telling you right now, don't be afraid of that. And be willing just to trust him and begin the climb. Scripture says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. That you'll be connected to him eternally. Be a follower of Jesus. You just have to believe that he is who he said he was, that he's the Son of God, that he died and rose again for you. You confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and that you're in need of a Savior, and that he is the one and only Savior. Through him, you can be made right with God. And if that's where you're at, you truly believe that in your heart, just confess that to God, however he leads you. No magical prayer. It's just between you and God. Let your heart cry out to him as he leads. And I promise, once you do that, and you are a new creation. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. The most freeing thing that you've ever made. And you begin that climb. And if that's you, I encourage you to step over that line of faith. Seek him. If you have questions, you can come talk to me or Daniel or one of our other leaders. We'd be more than happy to talk to you through that. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, and man, you've been barreling down that mountain. You're not even sliding. You've just jumped. And you're struggling. It's okay. Continue to wrestle with God, but embrace him as you do it. And allow him to do a work in you. Because he will. Remember the good things that he's done for you. Remember, recall those things to memory. Accept what he's doing. Even though you don't like it, you accept because you can trust and know what he will do as a result. Easier said than done. But with him living in us and working through us, we can get to that point. Maybe you're still waiting and you just need to wait a little longer and just wait for God to do that in you. Maybe you need to ask him to do that for you. But I promise you, when you trust him, he'll begin to take you to that next level. When you worship him, even when it doesn't make sense, he'll take you to the next level. God, again, we thank you for who you are, and I pray that you would take us all to that next mountain peak. May we trust you, embrace you, and always be completely vulnerable and honest before you. We thank you for how good you are. We thank you for the fact that you sent your son to die and raise again for us so that we can be connected to the Father. You are so good to us.